Good morning and welcome to Corona Chronicles. Yesterday we got up to verse 20 of chapter 18 and we were describing that scene like a funeral where there were three eulogies for Babylon. There was the voice of the kings, the voice of the merchants, and then the command to God's people to rejoice, which is a weird thing to have at a funeral, but it's what we found. And we're moving on to verse 21 now, and again we're continuing with this inescapable theme. That Babylon and this world is coming down. So this is verse 21. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's most important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered on the earth."
I mean, it's quite final, that, isn't it? This is the, I mean, it's titled in the Bible, well, not the Bible, but the title here is the finality of Babylon's doom. Mm. And we've seen the funeral speakers, and then this is it really, isn't it? Mm. There's no coming back from this. Mm. Being tied, you know, having a large millstone thrown into the ocean, there's only one place it's going, and that's right down to the bottom, and it's not coming back up again.
No, and it's amazing how that is quite, although millstones are not something we might see very much, you know, it is a violent image. So I'm sure most people have seen on those nature programs the moment when a huge, you know, ice shelf suddenly creaks and breaks and comes falling into the sea, or a tower of rock just collapses, and it's a violent image, isn't it? It's thousands and thousands of tons of material just plunging into the sea, and that's being used as a picture to describe Babylon being thrown down into the bottom of the ocean. And you know, in the reading it's very clear, isn't it, this never again, never again, never again. So as you say, it's the finality of Babylon's doom. And the interesting thing is that in the past few verses, there's been quite a lot of language about the judgment of Babylon, and it's described as a burning and a wailing and a torment, whereas this seems to be, alongside that, the withdrawal of everything that would bring joy in normal life. So the warm glow of a lamp will never be seen, it'll be darkness forever. You've been to weddings, and just the joy of celebration and laughter and conversation and chat and dancing and the sound of feet dancing and sound of mouths eating the food, all of those noises of joy are going to be withdrawn, and it's just going to be a quiet, rattly old place. You know, all the good is gone from Babylon.
And it's really sad, because this is a picture of our world, which, if you look at it from the outside, if you look at London, you will see music, you will see great trade, you will see, you know, fruitful sort of supermarkets with food, and you'll see light, and you will hear the sound of dancing. So on the outside, there is this sort of, it looks all right, doesn't it? They look like they're good people, hardworking, honest. But then in verse 21, the curtain is pulled back, and we see actually what was going on. In her was found the blood of prophets and of God's holy people. So there is a love for good things, but without a love for the God who gives good things, there's a real, so it's kind of a fake veneer of goodness.
And that is one very important way of thinking about sin, isn't it? And it says there in verse 23, by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. And what is the magic spell? Well, as you say, it's this idea that we can enjoy the good without the God, isn't it? You know, that we would take all of these blessings of light and music and trade and from God's hand, and turn our backs on the one who gives them. Not even consciously. Not even saying, I'll take the gift, but I don't want you. Just a complete ignorance of God, not even mentioning him, you know. And it's it's been interesting thinking about this lockdown and you know, some of the big voices that we hear all the time from the government and scientists, and there really is no mention of God at all, is there? Not even in a passing way. He's just completely cut out. And you can imagine at the press conference, if someone said, you know, have you thought much about God's role in all this? It would be completely inappropriate, yeah, wouldn't it? People would just say, can we have the next question, please? You know, would be, so that's what's happening here. You know, it's this, we think that we can enjoy all of these things without God. That is the spell that leads us astray.
Yeah. I suppose as Christians as well, that is the temptation that will lead us astray. Mm. But actually all the good things we have in our life are there just because they're there, not because, you know, God's given them to us.
Mm.
And this is a picture of something Jesus said, isn't it? He says it's be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around your neck and to lead one of the little ones astray.
Mm.
And you see that by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. So Jesus really had this in mind, didn't he?
Mm.
Because he's sort of seen this vision himself, hasn't he? So this is what he was thinking of when he said that. Mm. The seriousness of living in this world and enjoying God's things without any acknowledgement of the Creator.
Yeah, and I think as well that, you know, the last bit, verse 24, that the prophets of God's holy people, you know, their blood has been shed. And it reminds me of Abel, you know, right at the beginning of the Bible where you've got the first murder, and the blood of Abel, the righteous servant, is crying out to God from the earth, you know. And that is still the case, isn't it? That in all the luxury and all the you know, the living standards that we have, it looks nice, doesn't it? But there is the blood of God's people in the soil of this earth, you know, and it's crying out for justice.
Mm.
And one day God is gonna come and bring justice, both in active punishment and in the withdrawal of all the good that he had given for a time. And so that you know, this is as usual, these are challenging messages, and you know, again, judgment is coming, and all the good things we enjoy, if we enjoy them in this godless manner, are going to come back upon us in judgment. And now is the time, at the end of this funeral scene, to come on and to trust in Christ, and to have a certain future with him.